Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Graybar Sports Open Line on a Thursday night. Nate Gatter with you in for Matt Pauly. Producer Kyle Sixta is standing by. We're going to keep the phone line open all evening, I suppose, except when we have guests. But even then, you could call in and we'll get to you when we get to you. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. Do you have Cardinals thoughts during these GM meetings? Kind of the warm-up for baseball's winter meetings and the buzz that is around the Cardinals as a trade team. Not only potentially Nolan Arenado on the move, which we expect to happen, but plenty of buzz around Brendan Donovan at the moment. There will be buzz around Sonny Gray. Could there be other guys even on the move? Because the Cardinals have so many left-handed hitters who, as Kevin Wheeler said during Rush Hour Sports, can play second base, third base, corner outfield, and DH. Cardinals have a lot of redundancies on this roster. Do you have thoughts on that? Who should be on the move? Who should be protected? Maybe that's the more interesting thing. Is there anybody who's untouchable? Anybody who deserves to be at least in that special bucket where we need a really, really high price to consider letting a guy go? We will talk to Drew King coming up in just about 10 minutes. He covers Missouri basketball for Power Mizzou. The Tigers are 4-0, and they have not yet been seriously challenged. They were down by 9 in the first half against Minnesota last night. They ultimately came back to win by 23 points. They put up 32 in the first half, 51 in the second half. Mark Mitchell was very good again for the Tigers, who are still playing without three players who figure to be rotation pieces. At least two you would expect to be part of the significant minutes in the rotation. Honor Boateng, Trent Burns, and Trent Pierce all still out with lower body injuries. Boateng appears to be the closest to returning. We'll talk to Drew King about where Missouri is. It's going to be a while until Mizzou plays another big-ticket opponent. Not that Minnesota, with a first-year head coach and 13 new players and a KenPom rating outside the top 60, is especially big-ticket. But for November, we'll take what we can get. We'll have matchups for Missouri against Notre Dame on the road in December, which, by the way, they're going to go about a month without playing a road game. They opened on the road in D.C. against Howard. And it goes from November 3rd to December 2nd without Missouri playing a game on the road. Notre Dame, December the 2nd, and then later on that month, Kansas and Illinois, the typical non-conference marquee opponents for Mizzou. So a pretty strong non-conference schedule in total, but it's December, not November, doing the heavy lifting for Dennis Gates. So a string of home games coming up over the next few weeks that figure to be, you hesitate to say easy wins, but certainly games that Missouri expects to win, where winning is just kind of keeping the status quo and losing could be problematic. The St. Louis Billikens men's soccer team won over Davidson College last night in the Atlantic 10 semifinals, so they are through to the Atlantic 10 tournament championship game, which will be at Herman Stadium noon on Sunday against the Dayton Flyers, a traditional A-10 soccer rival. St. Louis and Dayton on Sunday at noon in the A-10 men's soccer championship game, and we will visit with the head coach of the Billikens, Kevin Kalish, coming up later in this hour. Next hour, we'll hear from Blair Kirkhoff, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs for the Kansas City Star, and Frank Cusimano of KSDK Sports. Hit on a few other things as well. I want to talk a little bit about Michigan and USC and the Big Ten's private equity. Will they, won't they dance? It seems like the answer is will they, but for Michigan and USC. And we'll talk a little bit about what that power dynamic really is and how the way it's being reported doesn't totally capture what I think is ultimately the calculus in that situation and who exactly has the leverage and why. Also talk about College Game Day going to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for Notre Dame and Pittsburgh on Saturday morning and what that says about where ESPN is going in their coverage of college football, why they're covering that, what are they not doing these last couple years since ESPN and ABC came to own the entirety of the SEC. What are they choosing? And more importantly, by choosing those things, what are they sacrificing? That's going to be during the second hour as well. But Drew King is coming up next with Missouri basketball. Again, an 83-60 win over Minnesota. Their first-year coach, Nico Medved, who had taken Colorado State to three NCAA tournaments in the last 4 years. And Medved and Minnesota with some growing pains, unsurprisingly. Their first road game in his tenure. They brought back just 8% of their scoring. You know what's crazy? Missouri brought back 43% of its scoring from last year, which doesn't sound like a lot. That's the most returning scoring of any team in the SEC. 43%. That's the world that we live in now. Part of it is has always been true. With top guys, you know, your highest scorers are most likely to move on to the NBA in any particular year. So that makes sense. That's not anything new. But the transfer portal is a part of that as well. Almost every team in the SEC even is affected by guys leaving. Every team can be affected. Florida had a guy figure to be a starter this year coming off a national championship. Transfer out. Because it's not just as simple as it used to be, which is where's the best place that I can play? Where's the best place where I can be on the floor? And the calculus was just about brand and exposure and minutes and winning. Now, it's about the money. And there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. It might detract from the fan experience. There's nothing inherently wrong. In fact, there's probably something inherently right in players being compensated for their labor, but it has changed things dramatically that Missouri bringing back 43% of its scoring has more returning production than any other team in the SEC. Drew King, who covers Mizzou basketball for Power Mizzou, is coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Gray Bar Sports Open Line continues on this Thursday evening. Nate Gatter with you in for Matt Pauly. Drew King is with us. He covers Missouri Tigers basketball for Power Mizzou. You can follow him on X at DrewKing0222_. Drew, did I get that right?
You did, and thank you for including the underscore. I had to make a new Twitter account for myself this offseason. I was pretty upset about it.
Well, when you cover the Missouri Tigers, I mean, just everybody wants to get in and take over your Twitter. You know, I mean, it's the most popping thing going on the internet.
Yeah, I wish that was the case. It was actually, I got my account suspended for trying to create a fantasy football group chat, and Twitter thought I was a spam bot trying to text a bunch of different people at the same time. So, like I said, thank you again for including the underscore on the new account.
That would be a tough one for me to get over. I think Twitter's algorithm thinks I'm so annoying that I must be a bot.
Exactly.
I think that'd be a hit to the ego. But we appreciate you being here, and we hope that you're able to, you know, get all the fantasy football group chats going that you want. Let's talk a little bit about Missouri basketball coming off certainly the most impressive win of the season so far, a game where they trailed by 9 in the first half against Minnesota last night and ultimately won, going away by 23 points, put up 51 in the second half. Feels like that's kind of been the story for Mizzou so far this year, at least in the home games, has been somewhat sluggish first halves and dominant second halves.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is like, is this a team that just tends to start slow, or is Mizzou a second half team, or is it both? That's something that I'm very interested to learn as the season goes on. It's like, I think part of it has to do with the starting lineup. Personally, I'm not sure that a front court with Mark Mitchell, Javon Porter, and Sean Phillips fits that well together. And so what we've seen in the past couple of games here is when Dennis Gates puts shooters around Mark Mitchell, it tends to stretch defenses out a little bit more and opens things up inside for Mark Mitchell. And he's been absolutely dominant this season against almost everybody they've played. So, I think that it's definitely a trend worth watching early on in the season so far.
I'm glad you mentioned that, the starting front court of Phillips, Porter, and Mitchell that Missouri has gone with so far this year and went with last night, because one of the interesting storylines to come out of the game is that Javon Porter played only 11 minutes and was not on the floor in the second half. He did not score, only took one field goal attempt, no rebounds, he had one assist. So essentially, Javon Porter was a non-factor in last night's game. And it felt in that second half, based on the results on the court, like Dennis Gates might be tempted to tinker with what he's doing with that starting lineup, because it's obvious that by having Jacob Cruz start the second half and play more minutes after halftime, Missouri was much more dynamic offensively than they were with Javon Porter.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I think that is a change that they should consider making. To be clear, like, I don't want to write off Javon Porter for this team either. Like, we're only 4 games into the season, less than 2 weeks into the year. So there's a lot of season left, and I think Javon Porter can be a contributor with this team. I just don't think that putting him alongside 2 other bigs in Mark Mitchell and Sean Phillips is going to be the most effective way to use them this year. And so I think if I was the coach, I would shake things up. I think I'd bring Javon Porter off the bench, give him a different look, and try to build his confidence back up after kind of a sluggish start to the year.
Missouri's shown some rather impressive depth already this year. They have five guys averaging double figures, including two who have come exclusively off the bench. Second leading scorer, Jaden Stone, and fifth leading scorer, Jacob Cruz, who, as mentioned, started the second half in place of Javon Porter. And they're doing all of it with three relatively prominent players still sidelined with injury, Honor Boateng, Trent Burns, and Trent Pierce. Program has called all three of them lower body injuries. Drew, do we have a sense of who's closest to returning?
No, I have absolutely no idea. So we were told at the Kansas State game, Dennis Gates said, I don't see a reason Trent Pierce wouldn't be playing to start the year. And then the year starts and Trent Pierce isn't playing. And I asked him after the Howard game, do you think this is going to be a long-term thing? He said, no, I think Trent will be back by the next game. And then at the press conference ahead of the SEMO game, Dennis Gates said Trent Pierce practiced the past 2 days, but I held him out of practice today as a precaution. And we have not really gotten an update on him since then. Same thing with Honor Boateng. I don't think they've even said what's really the issue with Honor yet. They just keep saying we're trying to get him evaluated, and it's been over a week now. And then Trent Burns, you know, he had the surgery on a stress fracture in his foot. They said at the time it was going to be 8 to 12 weeks. I think it's been 9 weeks at this point. So I'm not 100% sure when he'll be back. But the main thing is, like, they've got four more games before the schedule starts getting a lot tougher. Like, they begin December at Notre Dame and then at Kansas City for the Border War. So these next four games where you've got mid-majors at home, like, that's kind of your last chance to ramp some of these guys up and get their feet wet in the rotation before you start playing games of consequence. So I am very interested to see how quickly they can get some of these guys back on the court.
Drew King of Power Mizzou is with us talking Missouri Tigers basketball. It's a good point that you make, because those guys missing even games now where their services are certainly not required for Missouri to win, you wouldn't think over these next four, could have profound impacts on how much they can contribute the entire season, because obviously Dennis Gates would rather not be throwing guys out for their debuts in Kansas City against KU or against Illinois in St. Louis just before Christmas. Those are different propositions, and then SEC play starts coming thick and fast. One more thing before we let you go, and this is not necessarily basketball related specifically, and I don't know that Dennis Gates cares about this. It's not his job to care. Do you think he has a sense, maybe because of his interactions with the media or just because of the vibe around Columbia, that fans don't love how guarded he is about injuries and at times maybe feel like they're even being a little bit misled?
I think maybe he's got a sense of it. I don't know that he really cares all that much. I think, like, his duty is to protect the player, whatever that means to him. And so I think he understands people getting frustrated, but he's going to do what he feels like is best for the team. And if that means keeping everybody in the public in the dark about how long it's going to take for guys to come back from injuries, like, it's up to him. I don't fault him for that. But yeah, I at the same time, I totally get why everybody is frustrated with how he handles it. It's frustrating for us in the media sometimes, not being able to provide any information on it, for sure. So I see both sides of it, but I think Dennis is just doing what he feels like is best for his program.
One more real quick, because I lied to you, but one more real quick, because one thing I haven't mentioned yet on the show is that it was the Gates Bowl last night, because Dennis's younger brother, Armand, is in his first year as an assistant for Nico Medved at Minnesota. I was told it was the fifth time that they have played each other, and Dennis now has two. Armand has three. Did you get any particularly fun tidbits or stories out of Dennis or out of Armand, maybe, about the brother matchup?
Honestly, no. It didn't really come up. Yeah, I know that we asked him about his family potentially coming in, and Dennis Gates said that he honestly wasn't sure if he had any family coming in for this game. It did look like there was a little bit of a meetup in the tunnel outside the locker room after the game. But aside from that, honestly, it wasn't something that came up too much.
Well, hopefully Dennis can take some satisfaction, especially if he was down 3-1 in the all-time brother series going into last night. Drew, we appreciate your time a lot. I'm sure we'll talk to you at least once or twice more as this season goes on. Thanks a lot for spending a little bit of your Thursday evening with us.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me on.
That's Drew King of Power Mizzou talking Missouri Tiger basketball. The Tigers are 4-0 after a 23-point win over Minnesota in Como last night. When we return, Kevin Kalish, the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens men's soccer team, joins us on KMOX. Sports Open Line continues on this Thursday evening. Nate Gatterback with you in for Matt Pauly, and we are joined now by Kevin Kalish, the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens men's soccer team, who will play Dayton on Sunday at noon at Herman Stadium in Midtown St. Louis for the 8-10 title. Coach, how you doing?
Great, Nate. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I am great. Glad to have you here. Win over Davidson last night, 1-0. You guys have played a lot of low-scoring games, and this was a scrappy one. What, a half dozen yellow cards, a Davidson red toward the end, and pulled out a 1-0 win on a penalty in the first half. Feels like a scrappy result to feel good about.
Yeah, it was. It was a typical postseason game this time of year. Two teams that were two quality teams. Davidson... just a difficult opponent to play against, and, you know, glad to see our guys, just figure out a way to win the game and move on.
You guys are unbeaten since September, but as mentioned, a lot of games low scoring. Really only the Fordham game in October that you won 3-2 that stands out as one with a bunch of goals, but unbeaten since that Akron game. What do you think has been going well over the last month and a half?
Yeah, look, we have a ton of depth within this team. We got a lot of quality players that... you know, at every position, I feel like our depth's really been a difference maker as we've kind of hit the stretch run here. You know, we've last year at this time, we were pretty banged up, and this year we're healthy. We're fresh because of just the rotation and how many guys we have. And, we're in a good place heading into the final.
Do you get a sense, now that you've been doing this for a number of years, is there a part of you when you have the kind of broad perspective on how a season goes and why some teams make it a long way in the postseason and some don't? How much of that is kind of up to chance? And does it make you smile a little bit to yourself, Riley, just sort of knowing that so much of this is out of your control and it's about the good fortune of who's playing their best, but also who's the healthiest at the end of the year?
Yeah, there's a lot of factors, obviously, that goes into kind of peaking at the right time. I mean, we talk a lot about being our best at the end of the season in November. A lot has to go. You know, there is some luck and chance to it with regards to injuries. But I will say, you know, the other side of the coin is just we've had tremendous leadership. Our best players have really stepped up in the key moments and rose to the occasion. And, you also need that senior leadership and those guys who've been in these environments, been in these types of games before to step up and make plays. And, again, I think we've done that with Jeremy Avenel and Grady Easton. Our two captains have really done an unbelievable job leading the group. It's a very fairly young group across the board, but a lot of our key guys who've been in these situations before have really stepped up and played well here in the stretch run.
Speaking of big games like this one, you guys played Dayton back in early October at Herman Stadium, battled to a 0-0. You guys played the majority of the game with 10 men after a first-half red card. Dayton picked up a red card with just over 10 minutes remaining, and in the end it ended goalless and the points were shared. What do you take away from that game that informs what you expect on Sunday?
That's a great question. We'll look at the first 20 minutes of that game when it was even numbered, and just see how that those 20 minutes played out. But it's a small sample size. At the end of the day, you know, we really know Dayton very well. They know us very well. If you look at the past history of the conference in the last 5 years, you know, we won in 21 and 22. They won in 23 and 24, and here we are again in 25 playing in the final. So you know, it's kind of fitting. You know, it was a rematch from last year's final, so we're excited to play on Sunday, and it should be a great game.
What I'm hearing with SLU in 21 and 22 and Dayton in 23 and 24 is this is kind of game five. This is the decisive game in the series now. We're going to decide who the overall champion of the half decade is.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting game. I think, guys, anyone who's followed the A-10 in men's soccer knows that, you know, we've been the top two teams in the conference, you know, over the last 5 years or so. And so it's going to be an exciting match. They're a very talented team. As we are as well. And so, again, we're excited to compete and again, play for a conference championship on Sunday.
You mentioned the excitement. Obviously, the stakes can't be higher than a conference championship game against another great program and a regional rival at that. Dayton and SLU play so many great rivalry games in a number of sports here. Yep. In St. Louis. And we love that rivalry, and we love to hate in that rivalry like everybody does. So
for sure.
How do you manage the emotions of that kind of game? More importantly, how do you help your players manage the emotions of that kind of game where obviously you want them to be up and use the moment to their advantage to the degree that they can? At the same time, they're playing in this hugely high-stakes game in front of a big crowd in a matchup that had a bunch of yellows and a couple of red cards back in October, and you want to make sure that emotion's working for you and not against you.
You know, I think our schedule's really prepared us well for this game and actually for the postseason. We had arguably the eighth ranked hardest schedule in the country. We played a number of top 10 programs all throughout the season. Some emotional derby games, some games against big opponents that we can use, to our advantage, just to say, hey, we've been here before. We were in a final last year. We've been in multiple finals over the last 5 years. We know what's at stake. It's about us being our best versions of ourselves, playing our best soccer this time of year. I think when the whistle blows, I think those nerves will go away, and it's just about execution and playing together as a group. And, you know, we got some guys who've been in these battles before, and we'll know how to respond.
Last one for you, Coach, and I recognize and appreciate that soccer is your department and not ticket sales, but if there's somebody listening to this and saying, you know, I've never been to a St. Louis soccer game, I wonder if it might be worth coming out on Sunday. What's the pitch?
Look, we got a third of our roster is from St. Louis, right? It's a local team that represents the St. Louis community, and I think there's nothing better, I think, than St. Louisans love than to see their own not only compete but do extremely well. We're top 25. We've been there, a top 25 program for the last 10 weeks straight. So it's a great opportunity to see some local talent, and one of the best teams in college soccer playing this time of year in the playoffs. So I know all St. Louisans love winning teams, and they love the playoffs, so it should be a great game.
Well, Coach, my wife and I will be there. We're recruiting as many of our friends as we can. Best of luck. Go Bills.
Thanks so much for your time, Nate.
Kevin Kalish, the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens men's soccer team, joining us this evening on Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. His Billikens will battle Dayton for the A-10 title, Herman Stadium, Midtown St. Louis, on Sunday at noon. You can get your tickets at slubillikens.com, slubillikens.com. When we come back, we're going to get some Cards off-season storylines. Not from me. You've heard what I think about the Cardinals. What does Kyle Sixta, our trusty producer, standing by, think about the Cardinals? And he saw more Cardinals baseball in person than you did, almost certainly, last year. What are his offseason storylines to watch? That's coming up after this on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Talk to me, talk to me. Talk to me, talk to me.
Looks like we're making up for lost time.
Graybar Sports Open Line, Thursday evening. Nate Gatter back with you. Producer Kyle Sixta alongside. Glad to have you with us. If you missed anything from our first hour, you can go back, as always, and hear it on the free Odyssey app in podcast form. We had visits with Drew King of Power Mizzou. He covers Missouri Tigers basketball in Columbia. They're off to a 4-0 start. He had some interesting things to say about how they've opened the season after a 23-point victory over Minnesota last night, just totally pulled away in the second half. We visited as well moments ago with Kevin Kalish, the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens men's soccer team. His Bills will play Dayton on Sunday at noon at Herman Stadium for the Atlantic 10 Championship. and tickets available at SlewBillikens.com. In the second hour, we will have Blair Kirkhoff with us. He covers the Chiefs for the Kansas City Star, and our own Frank Cusimano of KSDK Sports here in St. Louis will join as well. That's still to come as Gray Bar Sports Open Line continues. But to finish out this first hour, it's time to put producer Kyle Sixta in the spotlight, and well-deserved. If you were with us going to the break, I told you he probably saw more Cardinals baseball in person last year than you did. And that's probably true of every person listening to this. It's possible there are a few outliers. I doubt it. I doubt it. He saw all 81 home games in person as the booth assistant in our KMOX booth, helping out John Rooney and Ricky Horton, as well as a myriad other folks who pop in and out, including yours truly, doing some pre- and post-game. Kyle's an invaluable piece of the team over at Busch Stadium, and the perk of his job is he gets to watch a lot of the Cardinals. So, Kyle, you are uniquely well-positioned in some ways to tell me what are your biggest storyline or two for the Cardinals offseason right now.
Well, first, Nate, I appreciate the shout-out. I'm sure there had to be some people, some fans that were there for every single game in 2025 that saw every game in person. But, yeah, I think that's got to be a pretty exclusive club.
Did you see any road games in person?
I did not. I didn't see one road
game
in person.
So that would be the kicker for you. If there are some, there got to be a few season ticket holders who come to all 81 and then do one or two road trips a year, and they end up seeing 85 or 90 or something like that.
For sure. Someone's got me beat.
But they might not be listening.
No, they might not be. In terms of people listening to KMOX right now, hopefully I'm in that number one spot. Actually, hopefully not.
Hopefully some people
are listening that went to more than 81
games. Maybe John or Ricky locked in right now. You know, they see 150, if not all 162. Count spring training, they're getting close to 200.
That's right. In terms of this offseason, Nate, it's really interesting for me with Chaim Bloom taking over in the new front office just to see what they do, right? I mean, the biggest thing for me is to see what direction they go in. You want to see guys, you know, we saw guys get a chance in 2025 with the runway, and we didn't really see everything we wanted to see in 2025 in terms of Jordan Walker, Nolan Gorman.
It was uninspiring runway in many ways.
Right, it really was. So I'm interested to see what happens with those two. If they decide they have a spot on the roster in 2026, do they have to earn their playing time? And obviously that depends on the moves that are made this offseason, but that kind of gets into my first thing. They have to pick a direction. You don't want to be in the middle, and that's where I feel like the Cardinals have kind of sat the past few years. They're right on the fringe of getting into the playoffs. Do they want to, you know, kind of stay in that spot? Do you want to get into the wild card and hope to make a run? That's been kind of their philosophy. It seemed I want them to go either direction of trade Brendan Donovan, trade possibly Lars Nootbaar, and really go in for 2027, 2028 when you have Weatherholt and these top prospects that come up together, and hopefully you want to get past the jump of just being a playoff team. You want to be a World Series caliber team. That's kind of what you want to be. You don't want to be just a fringe playoff team. And on the other side of it, it's what types of players will you bring in? It's not just who are we going to deal this offseason, who are we going to get in terms of prospects returns. I want to see who's going to be on the 2026 roster that is controllable for the future. It's not just, you know, this guy wants to eat innings. That's kind of how we viewed Miles Michaelis last year. He's just here to, you know, on the last year of his deal, do we want him to just eat innings? No, we want someone that maybe could fall into that 2027, 2028 roster that is controllable, that can be a part of that World Series contending team, we hope.
It's an interesting perspective. I mean, I think that's exactly right on the direction piece. I think that's probably true of every team in baseball. And it's one of the funny things about, I think, the way that professional sports is going in general, is that a lot of folks have realized that over the last 10 years, 20 years, that you don't want to spend a lot of time hanging out in the middle. And so in some ways you have teams racing each other to both ends.
Right.
Right. I mean, less so in baseball, especially now with the draft lottery, like the combination of the draft not being quite as exact a science in baseball as it even is in other sports, and certainly more of a delayed gratification than it is in other sports. Now with the lottery on top of that, there's not really a strong tanking incentive in baseball, not as much as there can be like in the NFL, where I think there are times where the tanking incentive is overwhelming, or in the NBA. I mean, that's going to be an interesting fringe piece of Chauncey Billups' prosecution, is it's kind of thrown in there unrelated to any of his gambling activities or any of the criminal activities, but the federal government, the United States federal government, federal prosecutors alleged on paper in public court filings that Chauncey Billups told people he knew and he was close to and who bet on games that the Trailblazers were, in certain instances, going to actively try to lose games because they were tanking. And that's something that we all know, or we all infer, goes on, and that the NBA has been emphatic does not happen. So it's a little bit away from your point. You weren't trying to make a point about Chauncey Billups' federal prosecution. But I think it takes me there because we are living in that world where I think teams are starting to realize that it's time to split one way or the other.
Right.
And the Cardinals have gotten, you know, you said for the last few years, I mean, in some ways, the Cardinals for the last decade
even longer,
have
yeah.
been one of those teams. Not that they've been content with that. I don't think their goal has been to go into the year, win 85 games or anything like that. But I have no interest in being a team that wins in the 80s.
No.
In some ways, I'd rather they win, you know, rather they win 70 than win 85. Now, there's something to be said for the fact that when you have an 85-win team, at least, going to the ballpark night in and night out is a little more enjoyable. And, you know, especially for somebody like yourself who sees 81 out of 81 at home, that is a needle mover. But generally speaking, the goal of a professional baseball franchise is to win the World Series. And that's pretty much it. You know, they don't hang banners for this team had the best winning percentage of the 2010s, right? Or this team had the fewest 90 loss seasons or the fewest losing seasons in the 2020s. Nobody puts up the banner for that. Maybe they should. Maybe we should reward. Maybe there should be some fringe benefit to being consistently good, even if never great. But there really isn't, other than you're in the playoffs and you get to spin the roulette wheel that is playoff baseball. But frankly, now the playoffs are getting longer and longer to the point that I think it's less of a roulette wheel than it's been before, especially if you have really good starting. I think it's about starting pitching still. Postseason baseball still changes a little bit in that because you can shorten the rotation to four, in some cases maybe even to three, it does change the calculus, and starting pitchers are now even more valuable than they are during the regular season. Certainly the value of top-end starting pitchers relative to depth in the rotation changes. I think that normally there's value to both. In the postseason, the top end far outweighs any depth. Having a really comparatively strong number four and five starter is not worth very much. So postseason baseball is still different, but I think there's less randomness in it now. And that's just, it's only going to increase because the playoffs are just going to get longer and longer, right? They're only looking for more TV they can sell of the postseason. So how long until we're in a situation where we're going to best of fives in those initial wild card series and we're letting half the league in the playoff? You know, it's silly. Anyway, gets away from the point, which is that it is direction choosing time, and the direction they choose this offseason in some ways might set the tone for the direction for the next few years, the early tenor, the early mantras of the Chaim Bloom era, because we really don't know what's going to be the identity of the Chaim Bloom era. We don't know yet.
Yeah, totally. One thing I did want to get in before the end of this first hour real quick is one reason to get a bit of hope for what type of player Chaim Bloom looks at. It's his first draft class that he worked in collaboratively with Mo Zalok, where they shot for those high upside guys. You saw Liam Doyle, you saw Tanner Franklin, you saw Ryan Mitchell, who are all going to be top prospects. So you can see the type of player and the type of mold that Bloom looks for, and I think that's pretty exciting.
It's a good point. It's a good point, because I think a lot of Cardinals fans were also excited about the direction of the draft, and presumably that's going to be the direction of the early Bloom years. Second hour is still to come on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauly this evening. Kyle Sixta is producing. We're into the second hour of Graybar Sports Open Line tonight. Blair Kirkhoff, who covers the Chiefs for the Kansas City Star, will be joining us in about 15 minutes. Frank Cusimano of KSDK to follow after that. I want to touch on a story that's been big around college sports over the last week or two. Really, it's been brewing for longer than that, but this particular angle on the story has heated up in recent weeks, and that is the potential investment of a couple of billions of dollars from private equity into the Big Ten Conference, which in theory is because the Big Ten Conference, one of two conferences in college sports, in particular in college football, because ultimately that's really what this is all about, is college football, who have more money than anybody else, apparently not having enough money and needing to take a buy now, pay later deal from private equity in order to, I don't know, keep themselves competitive or whatever they're telling themselves in order to talk their way into this being anything but a bad idea. Well, 16 of the 18 schools reportedly are interested. Two are not. That's Michigan and USC. And the way the reporting has been positioned, and I think there's been some pushback on this in recent days, so it's not as bad now. But when it was first coming out, the way this reporting was worded was, well, Michigan and USC are going to have to decide if they want to be part of the Big Ten's deal. And if they're not, then the Big Ten quite possibly could go ahead with 16 out of the 18. There is absolutely zero chance that private equity investment at anything approaching the level proposed is on the table if Michigan and USC are not part of it. If Michigan and USC leave the Big Ten, it hurts the Big Ten a lot more than it hurts them. That's just the reality of the situation. There are, I don't know, 10 schools who are on that list, 15, where they're big enough to be bigger than a conference. We talk about Notre Dame in that category a lot because they're the only one actively flexing that muscle with their independent NBC TV deal and remaining independent in football with just the ACC affiliation for scheduling purposes. And so Notre Dame kind of flies that flag alone in some ways. But what Notre Dame can do, Michigan and USC and a handful of other schools can do too. Now, could Michigan and USC get their own independent TV deal of the level that Notre Dame has with NBC? Probably not. Probably not. But could they join together? Keep in mind Notre Dame and USC and Notre Dame, Michigan are historic rivals. Michigan and USC, obviously much less so, but they're two of the most historic programs in college football. And they now have a little bit of history together from having played together in the Big Ten. So they've got enough. That's an awfully attractive triumvirate of Notre Dame, Michigan, and USC. Are you telling me that an independent Notre Dame, an independent Michigan, an independent USC, who decide that instead of joining a conference, or in Notre Dame's case, instead of continuing their ACC scheduling affiliation, they're going to band together, the three of them, and not form a conference, but they're going to operate as independents in some way, and they're going to have a scheduling affiliation with each other. They're each going to play each other every year, and they're going to put together the best independent schedules they can, and they're going to go out and try to get a TV deal together for their home games? You think CBS isn't lining up for that? You think CBS doesn't look at that and say, you know, that's a little bit better than doing our lousy number three Big Ten game every week? I don't know if you've run down the CBS college football schedule for their mid-afternoon kickoff this year. They have lousy games. It's certainly not LSU and Alabama. It's certainly not Georgia and Florida. It's certainly not Tennessee and anybody, right? It's not the way that they used to be going with the SEC. And everybody knew that was going to be the case, right? CBS didn't want to get rid of the SEC. The SEC saw something attractive in ESPN, and there are a couple of things attractive about that deal. I don't think the SEC, in fact, I think not only was it not wrong from the SEC standpoint, it might have been malpractice from Greg Sankey and the SEC if they didn't see through and ultimately take that deal with ESPN. Because think about the benefits they get. First of all, there's a huge benefit in having only one TV partner. Now, they spread those games out, ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, SEC Network. But ESPN is the only corporate entity that is coordinating with the SEC on their scheduling and on their games. What that means is the SEC has been able to improve the fan experience by declaring kickoff times for the season a lot earlier, and even on the games where they wait until typically 2 weeks out, the way most of college football TV scheduling works, they're able to give a range that they announce well before the season. So for folks buying tickets and making travel plans, even if they don't, they might have a kickoff time well in advance, months in advance. Even if they don't, they likely have a range. This game is going to be played somewhere between noon and 3:30 Eastern time, or it's going to be played 3:30 Eastern time or later. This helps decide when are we going, what hotel night are we getting, which game are we going to pick out of these options, right? It's very fan-friendly in that way. It's also TV-friendly because ESPN can do a lot of shuffling, and they can wait on things and what stations they want to put what games on, and they dominate because they have the most culturally relevant conference in college football, and they own all of it. The other benefit for the SEC is a soft benefit, but I think the biggest one, and I wonder how much they talked about it going in, which is that then you are ESPN's primary focus, and ESPN is the machine that drives sports narratives in the United States. Opinions, I think, among sports fans on ESPN probably never lower than they are right now. Like, ESPN's stock among in the minds of the common fan, the perception of ESPN is not in a very good place. But that being said, ESPN still drives narratives. ESPN is still the primary driver of narratives in sports, especially in college football. And the SEC gets a benefit out of that. I don't think ESPN exclusively favors the SEC, as evidenced by the fact that they're going to Pittsburgh for a quasi-ACC game between Notre Dame and Pitt for College Game Day on Saturday. And we're going to talk about that later in the show because that has a different issue with it. All of this is to say that CBS has gotten left out by losing the SEC. And the Big Ten in this private equity deal is making a big mistake. If those 16 schools think that they can strong arm Michigan and Southern Cal into taking private equity money they don't need and they don't want, they have another thing coming. Because what really happens is they leave the Big Ten. The conference suffers as a result. The average share going to schools lowers, because both of those schools are above the average or above the median line. And so the overall pool of money coming in on rights fees goes down in greater proportion than diluting from 18 shares down to 16 goes. Right? Does that make sense? So, yes, every school gets more in the sense that they now get 1/16th instead of 1/18th. But the pool of money is going to decrease so much because Michigan and USC are above the fold, if you will, in that conference, that 1/16th is actually going to be less money than 1/18th was before, because the pool is going to be smaller. There won't be so much money. And Michigan and USC are going to be just fine. And they would call Notre Dame, and Notre Dame would say, jump on in. The water's just fine. We're going to figure something out with NBC, where we already have this longstanding arrangement. Maybe we'll do something with CBS, because they're going to be desperate. Maybe we'll work something else out. And I would bet you Michigan and USC, if in that scenario, make more TV money annually, which is what this is about, make more TV money annually than they do right now in the Big Ten. It would be convoluted, and it would be a risk. It would be a risk. And it would have potentially complications for other sports that they'd have to sort out, because this would be a football decision that affects hundreds of other student-athletes and a dozen, two dozen other teams. Michigan's case, it might be three dozen. That's a lot to consider. There would be a lot of risk here. But from a football standpoint, Michigan and USC almost certainly come out better. So it's a rare circumstance where I think private equity and the Big Ten Conference might be getting themselves a little deeper into this fight and not be leveraged properly against a couple of huge brands that have a lot of say over their own destiny. Frankly, I would love to see a world where Michigan and USC are independent and they get some kind of scheduling consortium going on with Notre Dame, maybe try to recruit in a couple other conferences, Clemson and Florida, or a couple other schools, Clemson and Florida State, not thrilled with the ACC. Imagine that. Imagine you start growing together what is not a conference, but kind of a made-for-TV scheduling consortium. That is very 2025 college football. And those schools drive viewership. They drive revenue. So the Big Ten better be very careful. They are on thin ice. We'll talk to Blair Kirkhoff next. He covers the Chiefs for the Kansas City Star. The Chiefs are coming off their bye. They lost to the Buffalo Bills last time we saw them a couple of weeks ago, and they're on the road in Denver. That's coming up after this. With Great Bar Sports Open Line on this Thursday evening. Nate Gatter back with you, working on getting Blair Kirkhoff for you from the Kansas City Star. He covers the Chiefs, who enjoyed their bye week last weekend. So we haven't seen them in action now for over a week and a half. The Sunday, November the 2nd, was their last game up in Buffalo, a 28-21 loss for the Chiefs to the Bills. A game where, frankly, the Chiefs never looked all that good. Patrick Mahomes completed fewer than 50% of his passes, just 15 out of 34, 250 yards and an interception for Mahomes in the game. He was thoroughly outdueled by Josh Allen, who was 23 of 26 through the air, 273 yards and a touchdown that he threw to Dalton Kincaid, who had 100 yards on the game receiving for the Bills. And Allen added a pair of rushing touchdowns as well. One of the key moments in the game was the end of the first half, when Buffalo was able to keep the Chiefs out of the end zone. And ultimately, the Chiefs settled for a very short 19-yard Harrison Butker field goal just seconds before the first half expired. And as a result, Buffalo was able to hang on with a 7-point win in the fourth quarter. Now, the Chiefs still only lost by 7 on the road against one of their primary AFC rivals for the AFC title and for making a run of the Super Bowl. So maybe in some ways that's almost impressive in retrospect, that the Chiefs played as uninspiringly as they did and still came within 7. But the road ahead for them is not a particularly easy one, because they're in the middle of, with the bye week, three games out of four on the road. They'll play the Broncos in Denver, 3:25 Central Time kickoff on Sunday. Then they'll be back home against the Colts, who have been, you know, the big surprise in the NFL this year and have run themselves in a position to fight for the one seed in the AFC. So you're talking about, you know, back-to-back games against the two of the three best records in the AFC. The three teams in the AFC at 8-2, the Colts, the Broncos, and the New England Patriots. And it's the Broncos and then the Colts in that order for the Chiefs these next couple of weekends. Two of the three best records in all the football, in fact, because nobody in the NFC is better than 7-2. So the AFC has the three best records in football. And frankly, none of them belong to teams that anybody would have put in that kind of stratosphere coming into the year. And then they'll be playing on a short week on Thanksgiving on the road against Dallas. And, you know, the Cowboys, not world beaters, but playing them on the road on Thanksgiving when, you know, they'll be up for it. And on the short week, traveling, anything could happen there. The schedule, I suppose, softens up a bit down the stretch. They play the Titans and the Raiders on the road in two of their last three games, sandwiching a home game against Denver and home games as well in December against Houston and the Chargers. So maybe it gets a little bit softer at the end compared to the difficulties they're going to endure here in November. Thankfully for them, they have that bye. But this is, frankly, a critical game coming up against the Broncos, because were the Chiefs to lose this game, their path to winning the AFC West is just about gone. They'd be 5-5. They would be 3.5 games back of Denver in the AFC West. And in, as it is, they're in third place, 2.5 behind Denver, I should say, and a game and a half behind the Chargers, who are 7-3 in second place. So the path to an AFC West title is already a bit of a winding one for the Chiefs, and losing in Denver would make it very, very challenging. And the Broncos are 5-0 in home games this year. They've won 7 games in a row, and they're 5-0 at Mile High. In 2025, the Chiefs just 1-3 away from Arrowhead this season. So a tall task certainly is in front of Kansas City. And it's easy to see this kind of spiraling on them, because you don't see in these next three coming out of the bye that kind of stabilizing win in theory on the schedule. Now, I imagine they'll be favored at home against the Colts probably by a little bit. So it's not certainly not out of the question they could win two or even all three of these games. And if they were to win all three, then you're going into December saying the Chiefs are, if not in the driver's seat, certainly back in contention to win the AFC West Championship. They're going to get healthier, although I don't know that, say, like Isaiah Pacheco's health is really a needle mover for me as far as the Chiefs are concerned. But the bye week does help for getting healthy and for making sure that they're in the right place going forward. But it feels like a passing game that should be better given the weapons they have. You know, Travis Kelce is maybe not what he was, but he's still definitely a value add, especially when Mahomes is playing off schedule and plays break down. I think there's a lot to like about that connection still, just as there always has been. And then obviously Rashee Rice looks like he's going to be a top receiver in the league for a long time. And Xavier Worthy has his limitations, and I think is to a degree redundant to Rashee Rice, in the sense that there are things that Worthy was doing during those first 6 games of the season when Rice was suspended that now Rice is doing. But Worthy has value, if for nothing else, that being a guy who can take the top off the defense and open things up underneath for both Kelce and Rice, who are comfortable, in particular Kelce operating in those half spaces, and Rice so good running with the ball after the catch as well. So I feels like they should be a little bit more explosive, and maybe that's, you know, the old shell defenses issues that everybody's run into, all the explosive offenses have, that if you can't run the ball as well, you're going to have issues. And, you know, that's one of the takeaways. I didn't mention it going through the numbers initially. One of the takeaways from the Chiefs' loss in Buffalo is not so much that Mahomes didn't play well with completing fewer than 50% of his passes. Part of it is that the Chiefs were down all the way and that he was throwing the ball a lot, and that the Bills were able to play the pass because the Chiefs were not running the ball with consistency. Meanwhile, Buffalo handed the ball to James Cook 27 times for 114 yards. He didn't score a touchdown. Josh Allen took his 2 1-yard touchdowns with sneaks, and then Ty Johnson got out there to take his 3-yard touchdown. So poor James didn't get a touchdown despite carrying the ball 27 times for 114 yards. But it proved that the Bills can do something that at times recent iterations of the Bills has felt they couldn't do, which is grind it out. The Bills controlled the ball. They controlled the clock. They controlled the game, really. It felt like the entire game was played on their terms. Part of that is being in Buffalo. But it felt like they controlled it. It could be a very interesting AFC playoff picture. If we imagine the Chiefs get a wild card, we're looking at a very different AFC playoff picture than we have at any point in recent years. And at this point, it's more likely than not that the Chiefs are a wild card team and that that's their route into the playoffs. It's certainly not preordained, not set in stone, but it's possible. It's likely, I would say. If that happens, what if the AFC road goes through Denver or Indianapolis or New England? Not that that's a new thing, but it feels new. The Bills look to me like the best team in the AFC. But they're coming off losing by 3 scores to the Dolphins. So what do you make out of that? You know what? This feels like a good time, with just a minute or two left in this segment, because we're going to have Frank Cusimano coming up next, to ask Kyle Sixta What do you make of that? Kyle Sixta, the AFC, your conference, the home of your Houston Texans. What do you make of this conference right now? And at what point do we have to just say, no matter what we thought coming into the year, the Broncos, the Colts, the Patriots are proving things about who they are that we have to take seriously?
That Broncos defense is good. Let me start by saying that, Nate. Like, that is a legit defensive unit, and they are the reason that they're leading the division and they have the 8-2 record that they do. I do think there's a good chance, especially if the Chiefs do take both of those head-to-head games coming up against the Broncos, that they do end up coming back and winning the division. With that being said, if I had to pick a team, it's the Chiefs in the AFC, right? I mean, they've been there, they've done that, they have Patrick Mahomes. I know that's, you know, not the answer that some people want to hear because it's like, oh no, the Chiefs again. But I mean, at some point, especially in a wide open AFC, like, they just feel inevitable sometimes. And I am buying into the Colts. They're very good, especially in the trenches, offensive and defensive. The Broncos, like I said, great defense. Drake May is amazing. Their defense is great. So those are three legit teams. But again, the Bills, you just lose by 3 scores to the Dolphins. They got blown out by the Falcons earlier in the year. So it's like their defense doesn't look as great as it's been, and those better Bills teams haven't beat the Chiefs. So why do I think it's going to happen this year?
I'll tell you this. I've seen enough of the Chiefs now to say that if you were giving me the Chiefs versus the field in the AFC and you're taking the Chiefs, I'm very comfortable taking the field. I think it's unlikely the Chiefs are the AFC champion now this year. But the issue with that is I don't see anybody else stepping up to clearly grab it.
Right.
Because other than that, you have three teams, two with very young quarterbacks and one with a quarterback who's never been there, done that in the playoffs. So in some ways, a young quarterback in that sense. The Chargers are maybe appealing just because of the makeup of the team, the coaching staff, quarterback combination. There are things to like there. I will say also, it feels weird to say dark horse because, again, they're not sneaking up on anybody. But I am very serious still about the Baltimore Ravens, who I think are the overwhelming favorite in my mind at this point to win the AFC North because they're already only a game behind Pittsburgh. That advantage that the Steelers had from Lamar Jackson's timeout has pretty much disappeared. And the Ravens are coming hot on their heels and look likely to win. What if we get a first-round game, the Ravens hosting the Chiefs? The Chiefs might have the better record, but the Ravens win the AFC North. There are some TV networks, especially ones, you know, your ESPNs, who just get the one wild card game, and that's their involvement. Now, they're going to be getting in the Super Bowl rotation, but the networks that have limited involvement in the later stages of the postseason, they're salivating at the idea of having the Chiefs on wild card weekend, potentially going on the road. There could be lots of very interesting narratives, but still have a whole second half of the season almost left to play. If you want to follow along with the Chiefs, you can do it right here on KMOX, members of the Chiefs Radio Network. That game coming up Sunday afternoon, the Chiefs in Denver to play the Broncos, and you can hear the Chiefs Radio Network coverage with Mitch Holtis and company right here on KMOX. Frank Cusumano coming up after this. Nate Gatter back with you in for Matt Pauly this Thursday evening. Frank Cusumano is with us. You know him from KSDK. Frank, how you doing?
Good to be with you, Nate. Hope you're doing well, sir.
We are doing great, wrapping up this second hour. And so the task is tall in front of you to entertain the people coming down the stretch here. Let's start with the story that's been making some waves out of the initial GM meetings as we kind of get the stove cranked up in baseball's offseason, with the rumors that Brendan Donovan is a player very much in demand in trade talks is maybe it overstating it, who is in demand in trade interest, who's commanding a lot of interest from other teams. What do you make of that smoke? Is there some fire in there?
Yeah, definitely, because they're going to have to address their pitching needs. And let's face it, they only have two players, Nate, who you could move and get real quality talent back. And that's Brendan Donovan and Alec Burleson. And the fact that Burleson is under control for a longer period of time and Donovan plays the position where the Cardinals have some real options, you know, he's the guy you have to move. And it's really strange because he's your all-star, he's your best player, but he's the only guy that makes sense in a trade.
Do you have a sense yet in your conversations with Heim Bloom of What, if anything, do you think, what areas, if any, do you think he'll depart a bit from the ethos of the John Mozeliak era?
Well, you know, I think that he's going to have to bring in starting pitching because, as we speak, it's McGreevy, Libitor, and then somebody out of the bullpen because they'll move Sonny Gray. So I think, you know, John Mozeliak tried, to his credit, to move Nolan Arenado, and Arenado just completely screwed everything up when he said no to the Houston deal, which I still will never understand. And now you're trying to move a third baseman that still makes ridiculous money, who has an OPS under 700. It's going to be a real tall task. But he's going to be more aggressive in moving Arenado. I mean, he basically told me, Nolan knows it, we know it. They're just not going to get much in return. They're going to have to pick up a big chunk of the contract. And you also, this offseason, as opposed to last offseason, have Sonny Gray now open to the notion to making a trade. I mean, Nate, let's face it. It makes no sense for Sonny Gray to make $35 million on a rebuild in St. Louis next year. So he's got to be moved. And then I think Donovan would be the third.
And critically, it probably makes no sense to Sonny Gray either, right? Because although he was bought into being here, and I think he's enjoyed his time here in many ways, you know, he doesn't have a lot of interest at this stage of his career in being part of a rebuild either.
Yeah, it is kind of it's just a marriage that's got to end. And he's kind of a different guy. I know you've been around him too, but like, he's like one of the few pitchers in baseball who goes to his manager in the fourth or fifth inning and says, "I'm done." And look, I'm not going to deny he's been an effective pitcher and he's had a fine career. But, you know, give me Max Scherzer, who wants to bite the manager's head off when he tries to take him out of the game. So I appreciate the Cardinals being aggressive and spending, you know, $75 million on a three-year deal with Sonny Gray. But it doesn't make sense for the organization or for him to be in a Cardinal uniform.
Frank Cusumano, KSDK, is with us. Frank, I know you're a big hoops guy, of course, and the area hoops teams, both St. Louis and Missouri, impressing in the early season. Mizzou, a resounding win last night over Minnesota, dominant second half, and St. Louis will have maybe the first measuring stick of the year, welcoming Grand Canyon in on Saturday to Chaffetz Arena. What have you made of the Tigers and the Billikens so far?
Well, let me lead with SLU, and I've been watching them for 33 years. I actually played against them in the 80s when I was at UMSL. This is the deepest team they've ever had. And, you know, I saw good teams from Ford and Majerus and Cruz and Grauer and Spoonauer. They've never had like 9 or 10 guys. I mean, the guy I interviewed today, Nate, was Ish Sharma from Virginia. He's shooting 58% from three. He, I think, in a game of horse, could beat Gibson Jimerson. He's one of these, what I call shootaholics. I asked him about this today. He goes to the gym at night because he just feels comfortable in the gym alone shooting basketballs. He told me today that in one stretch during practice last year, he made 51 threes in a row. And he's like their sixth best player. I mean, that's how deep they are. You know, Robbie Avila is the best player in the conference. Kellen Thames, when you try to guard him, it's impossible. He goes around everybody. And then the Quentin Joneses of the world. They're just deep, and I really like Josh Schertz. He's one of these guys who spends his off season not vacationing in Florida, but like in the Oklahoma City, you know, coach's office and picking great coaches' minds.
Frank, before we get to Missouri, I want to ask you what everybody's thinking now. How many minutes would a 21-year-old Frank Cusumano get on this Bills team?
I would get zero. Yeah. You know, I will say this. If my junior year at UMSL, we beat them, which gives you an idea of how bad SLU was, and then they came back, and I got an offensive charge call against me my senior year. It was like a minute to go, and it cost us the game. Not that I remember these things.
Well, Frank, we appreciate you being here with us. Before we let you go, I do want to get your thoughts on Mizzou and that 4-0 start.
Nate, I got to tell you, I was really impressed with that second half last night. And here's what I really love is Mark Mitchell, and I'm not trying to compare him to Giannis, but there's one similarity, is that Giannis became great when he realized, I'm not a three-point shooter. And I know everybody wants to think they are three-point shooters. They're not. And Mark Mitchell is really good at getting to the rack, don't try to, you know, enhance your NBA career in Columbia, Missouri this year. Do what you do better than anybody, and that's get to the rim. So I think when they get Trent Pierce back, and I really love this Trent Burns, this 7'5" guy who's always hurt, but I've seen him play. He has some really neat skills. You know, I think that they're like the seventh best team or the eighth best team in the SEC, and that may be good enough to get to the tournament. And then next year with the best recruiting class in America, look out.
Number one recruiting class in America signed by the Missouri Tigers, completed with the signing of Crow today. So a three-man class, number one in the country, and certainly optimism there. Optimism about St. Louis. Could be a fun basketball season here locally, Mr. Cusimano.
We need it after what we've endured with hockey, with baseball, and with soccer. We need a winner in town, and I think SLU will provide that.
I hesitate to say you are absolutely right, because it has not been an easy last few months, has it? Frank Cusimano of KSDK joining us here on KMOX. Frank, thanks so much for taking the time.
Great to be with you, Nate. Thank you so much.
That will just about wrap us up. We got one more segment coming up here at the end of the second hour. Promised we would talk a little bit about College game day going to Pittsburgh. Why do we care? Why in St. Louis am I possibly talking about Notre Dame and Pittsburgh playing college football, let alone ESPN's College game day going there? Who cares? I'm going to try to convince you to care. Give me a chance. Give me a chance.
The one to make you stop, the icing on your cake, the cherry on the top.
Wrapping up Gray Bar Sports Open Line this Thursday evening. Nate Gatter with you in for Matt Pauly, who we hope will be back next week. Matt is doing better, so head on over to Matt Pauly on air and shoot him a little tweet, give him the well wishes, tell him that Nate and Kyle sent you over. Although if you say that, you can maybe, you know, give him a little barb too. You can maybe mess with him a little bit. Whatever you want to do. We appreciate you being with us on Gray Bar Sports Open Line this evening. Back during our first hour, we talked to Drew King about Missouri men's basketball. Kevin Kalish joined us to discuss the St. Louis Billikens men's soccer team. They are playing for the A-10 championship against Dayton. That game will be at Herman Stadium at noon on Sunday over in Midtown St. Louis. Tickets at slubillikens.com. And we also visited moments ago with Frank Cusimano, talked about a bunch of stuff, the Cardinals and their offseason situation, the St. Louis Billikens, and he is not the first person on these airwaves to say that St. Louis has the deepest team in program history this year, certainly in recent program history. Bob Ramsey, who has seen a lot of Billikens basketball as well, our play-by-play man for the Bills here on KMOX, has been doing it for 40 years now, and he said this is the deepest St. Louis team that he has seen. So a lot of institutional basketball knowledge in St. Louis between those two, and they agree that this is an extraordinarily deep and a uniquely deep St. Louis Billikens team. And we talked as well about the Missouri Tigers and their 4-0 start with Mr. Cusimano. Mentioned it briefly, didn't get a chance to talk much more about it, but the Billikens men's basketball team will be hosting Grand Canyon at Chaffetz Arena on Saturday night, and that is a big game. Because St. Louis, as we talked about with Josh Schertz, the head coach of the Bills, during his interview with us on Tuesday evening, it is not easy right now for the high-end mid-majors, low-end high majors, however you want to classify the A-10s, the American conferences, the Mountain West of the world. It is not easy for them to schedule power conference opponents, period. Certainly, it's not easy to schedule home-and-homes or two-for-one deals, which is what SLU wants. Those deals are very difficult for them to get any games against power conference opposition. And why is it difficult? Well, because they got Iowa for a preseason scrimmage that doesn't count and reportedly smacked the Hawkeyes. And Ben McCollum and Iowa would rather not get smacked in a game that's nationally televised and counts at the end of the year. That's the calculus. It's really that simple, that the upside is not significant enough to outweigh the considerable downside to those schools of losing a game, especially at home, to those, we call them quad two teams in the net rankings. Those would most likely be quad two games for those teams in the power conferences who are in the top 30, 40, 50 in the net. And so they don't necessarily want to deal with those kinds of games. They'd rather, as Josh Schertz said, play a lot of quad one games, and most of them during their conference season, and play a lot of quad four games against the bottom part of college basketball, the bottom quartile in the non-conference. So you kind of got to take your opportunities where you can get them, and SLU had trouble putting together as compelling, as difficult a non-conference schedule as they wanted. As a result, Grand Canyon is about as big a home game as there's going to be for the Billikens in non-conference this year, and a good measuring stick for a St. Louis team that has a lot of folks excited, especially with their offensive upside. All right, I promised that I would convince you to care about College game day going to Pittsburgh for the Notre Dame-Pitt game on Saturday. Why should you care? Because although this is an ACC game and not an SEC game, and ESPN is most often accused of SEC bias, and in fact this is the second time in recent weeks that they have not gone to an SEC game, because they also went to that Cincinnati-Utah game a few weeks ago, what's more important to me is that over the last couple of years, since ESPN has had all of the SEC, they go to more SEC games, and especially more Power 2 games, if you will, SEC Big Ten games, than ever before. Much higher proportion the last couple of years, which is a small-ish sample size, but not tiny. And you know what they're not doing at all anymore all of a sudden? Is going to Group of Five games, going to FCS games, going, convince me, bring me a story that I don't know. This is maybe a philosophical difference that I have with most viewers. Maybe ESPN has a better sense of their viewership than I do. They probably do. They pay a lot of money to know what their viewership is and what it wants. Let's say there are two options here. One is to go to an SEC game and see a couple of teams who are on game day almost every year, maybe multiple times a year, who are on national television in prime time frequently, who are discussed at length, who are dominant themes in college football. Do I really need Georgia and Alabama on game day again? Not anything against them. I do a lot of those games for Westwood One. I called Georgia and Alabama this year. It was great. It's a great time. Doing Texas and Georgia in a couple of nights. And I'm very much looking forward to it. I'm not saying I want to give up those games to go to Lindenwood. No offense to Kyle Sixta, my producer. That's why I chose Lindenwood. Not because I have anything against them. I only have things against Kyle. But college game day to me used to also be about telling me about the rest of the sport. Think about when they went to Fargo those first couple of times for North Dakota State. And it's not like North Dakota State is really off in the barren unknown of the sport. I think they're pretty well known now among people who follow college football. Take me to a Division II rivalry, Division III rivalry. Show me something different and show me how that's great too. I think we're losing that in the professionalized era of college football, that college football is great for Texas and Georgia and Alabama and LSU and Ohio State and Michigan and Notre Dame and Southern Cal. College football is great too for all the other levels and the way it makes us care about our schools and our communities. It doesn't always have to be about the biggest schools and the most dollars. That's our show for tonight. Producer Kyle Sexton, Nate Gatter saying so long. Hope you'll be back with us for Great Bar Sports Open Line again tomorrow night on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.